Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing? This is David Murphy from the National Black Unity News. Welcome to our Monday night SambuCast. We have a few people online with us, as well as on Facebook Live, as well as Blog Talk Radio. And again, I want to say welcome to you. I'm glad you showed up. We're going to have a few things we want to talk about this evening. And but before we do, you know, there's a gentleman that is online with us by the name of Michael Thomas, one of our co-hosts, as well as Brother Satabi Jahi. Before I bring these brothers on, I just want to say welcome, and I appreciate the things that you do. And so, but as always, before we get this party started, as we say, I want to bring my brother Satabi Jahi on, because he always has something positive to say about what's going on and a good reading. So, again, Brother Satabi, you got it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. As we do each and every week, we come on these airways. We do a reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success by Mr. Arthur Dennis Kimbrough. And get into our reading for the night. March 14th. Have you immunized yourself from success? Show me someone content with mediocrity, and I'll show you someone destined for failure. Winona Cole, president of Spelman College, reading for the day. Mankind was not created for mediocrity. For example, is most merciful. As a result, we cannot imagine those things that we cannot accomplish. We would not be equipped with the ability to imagine. We would not be equipped with the ability to imagine future accomplishments and conditions if we were not correspondingly equipped with the ability to turn those ideas into reality. On the surface, mediocrity may seem comfortable. Those of us who have settled into routine jobs at routine salaries may appear comfortable and content. But beneath the surface, we are forced to contend with the rationalization we accepted and the results of uneasiness is anything but comfortable. I can are two powerful words that make an even more powerful explanation. I can. For the overwhelming majority of people, that sentence can be a true one. People can do what they believe they can do. No other quality has the power to lift the poor out of poverty, hopelessness, out of despair, the ill out of sickness, the downtrodden out of grief, as belief. For example, Norman Rice could not have become Seattle's first African-American mayor unless he believed that he could. Cito Gaskin, skipper of baseball Toronto Blue Jays, could not have become the first African-American major manager to guide a professional baseball team to the World Series if he did believe he could do it. And Clifton Wharton Jr., the Deputy Secretary of State, did not become the first African-American to receive a PhD in economics from the University of Chicago unless he believed he could. The gap between what an individual thinks he can achieve, what is actually possible, is very, very small. But first, we must believe that we can. I'll examine my life today and identify those areas where I can utilize my special talents. This is a powerful reading for the day because it all starts again with belief. You have to believe that you can. If you don't believe, as the saying goes, whether you can do it, you just have to put your mind to it and strive forward to accomplish the thing that you want to accomplish. Whether you believe you can or you can't, the answer is that whichever way you think is what the results will produce for you. So make sure that you're believing in the things that you want to accomplish in life so that you can be able to strive forward to make them happen and become a reality. And that's my reading for today.
I appreciate that, brother. And I know you struggled a little bit tonight, but you know, you still powerful, powerful words. But one thing you said, you know, if you believe you can, then I believe you can. And tonight, you know, I put out a little quotation and say, if not now, then when? Not us, then who? You know, that's a broad statement. It can cover a multitude of issues. But tonight, you know, I'm going to just have an open conversation. But before I do, I'm going to bring on my brother, Brother Michael Thomas, because he has a program where he's gathering 1,000 minds. With 1,000 minds, can you imagine what you can do? But I understand you can move mountains with one mind. So can you imagine 1,000 minds? With that being said, Brother Michael Thomas, how you doing this evening, sir?
Good, good, David. Greetings, everyone.
Yes, sir. Just give us a little insight about the 1,000 great minds and what 1,000 great minds could do if you had that many minds.
Yes, as Brother Satar, we mentioned about the mind is not designed for mediocrity, and that if we can imagine something, you know, that we can do it, and that if we believe it, we can do it. If we don't believe it, we cannot do it, and that's the human design of the man, that it is unable to move mountains, so to speak. And having the collective IQ of 1,000 great minds unified is compared to one battery or two batteries unified as opposed to 1,000 batteries unified. The power that can come out of 1,000 great minds. One thing that I found out about problems and solutions, that I may not have a solution to a problem, but I can just put it out into the audience and instantly somebody give me the solution whereby I'm just baffled. You see, so the instantaneity of being able to get an instant answer is one of the powers of 1,000 great minds. You know, how we can just get a quick answer to a problem, move on to the next one and keep moving. We can move faster as opposed to working in a smaller framework. So the 1,000 great minds is much more powerful embodiment, you know, than can achieve, leap over more obstacles more quickly in less time, you know, than a smaller group of people.
All right, man. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you as well, sir.
Thank you.
We have a small group of us tonight, but we just going to move forward with who we have. And I just mentioned about if we don't, but I didn't say it in that terminology. I said, if not us, then who? If not now, then when? And my purpose of saying that statement is because, you know, as usual, there's a lot going on in this world. You know, one of the main things in the news today is the war that's taking place, and there could be a possibility, you know, we just can't take it lightly, that this could be easily moved into a third world war, you know, because of people mindsets and people ability to do things. And but nevertheless, the world goes on. Hopefully it will continue to go on. And but you know, while all of these things are taking place is you know, I don't like keep bringing up this, but that's my format, because I'm concerned about us. See, I'm concerned about the whole world and the people of the world. But my mission, my purpose in life is to uplift us, African, Black, Black people of the United States and beyond. And because the playing field has never been easy. And God has always raised up people like yourselves, who people on here, that has a heart for us, that want to do, you know, because we have children and we have children's children. And everybody wants the best for their children. We want the best for ourselves. We want the best for our own community. So therefore, other groups and organizations, people, ethnicities, and everything else looks out for themselves. You know, they support each other. And that's how they're able to survive, you know. But we are a unique people. We had to put up with all types of atrocities over the years in this country, and we still do. And most people, because they had cut us off from our heritage, from our homeland, and we've been scattered all over the world. And, you know, most of us are saying now they got these programs or these tests that you can take, and they can say that you're from Ghana, you're from this area, you're from that area. But when you take these tests, they got you mixed up all over the place. I mean, you were in England and every place else. So, you know, when you do that DNA test, but, you know, but again, most people can have a point back from their originality to their homeland. And that's a terrible thing that has happened to us. But nevertheless, we survive and we strive and we continue to do what we need to do to support our people. And we stand on great shoulders. And hopefully one day people will stand on ours. That's why we do the National Black Unity newspaper. That's why this podcast is taking place now, because it's a part of the National Black Unity News. And I just want to share something about the paper before we open up this discussion. We're in the process right now of bringing out a new issue. And I thank God, because now, you know, I can't count. I think it's about 15, 16 issues now. Since our session, we only come out four times a year. It's a quarterly. And it's a solution-oriented publication. And what makes us so unique is because it's by us and it's for us. You know, we have a unique group of people who have supported this paper, not only with their valuable time and their articles, but they support the publication through their finances as well. We're the only publication that I know of is self-supporting. And so that sets us apart as well. So we are not kept by anybody. Nobody controls our narratives. And unfortunately, most media is owned and dependent upon corporate America, I'll put it that way. And so therefore, their voices are limited as to what they can say. And since we own our own narrative, we own our own voice, we own our own publication, therefore, you know, we take the liberty of not being like the general news. See, we don't bring you who got killed, who did that, who did that. But we talk about things on this podcast. But the purpose of the National Black Unity News is to bring solution-oriented information that can enhance one's quality of life. And unfortunately, I believe we have, as a people, have finally learned that nobody's going to come back to save us. Nobody's really going to do for us unless we do it ourselves. That's why I say, if not now, who? If not, you know, but when are we going to do this? You know, I know we're striving, and I know we're doing, some of us doing the best we can, but we can do better. I can do better. But the point is that we have a format through the National Black Unity News that a voice, again, that is originate and is original by individuals like we have on this podcast who bring out years of experiences, and they put it in an article. They put it in these podcasts, and they do it in so many other ways in their personal lives. But this is a collective, a collaboration of people that's bringing to us, and like I say, bias to us. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, while the world is doing what it normally do, and black people, we are still in a certain situation in this certain in this country. And here we are in this month for March, and we're celebrating, I don't know if I'm using the right term, like Women History Month. Or we're celebrating our women. But, you know, that's what media has deemed. I don't know who came up with this, but I do know personally that we should celebrate our women every day. You know, just like we should celebrate, like we have just had Black History, we should be celebrating us every day. But we have been told, or I don't know where a lot of things come from, but, you know, it's kind of strange to me. We can celebrate certain things because they said they deem it this way, that this is the month to do so, or this is the week to do that, or this is the day to do that. See, that's the power of media. That's the power of what you call systems. And, you know, the way I look at things lately is, and I've been looking at it sometimes, even our holidays, the special days in our life, the Valentine's Day, the Christmases, the Easters, and everything else. And, you know, and tradition of men is a strange thing. But I do know, and I can't speak with nobody else, but I can speak with David Murphy, is this. You know, I've lived to be 70 years now, and it's been a journey. And I tried to fall into the system, try to, you know, do the system. It didn't work out too well. I also tried to do things on David Murphy terms, and that definitely didn't turn out too well. And so, but I do know one thing that did turn out pretty well. You see, when you find a group of people who have a few points that they can focus on, that they can collaborate with, that they can join forces with, and that's what I can see true change can take place, not only in my life, but their lives, and most importantly, our lives. And again, that's what the National Black Unity News does. And since we are doing this, and since we are independent publications, even though we own less than 1% of the media, but we still is a powerful, you know, powerful voice. And since we started this publication, we have made great strides, you know, and we have been through many obstacles, yet we still stand. And the only reason why we still stand, because we have people like who's on here tonight who have stood with us through everything. From the beginning, we have people come, we have people go. But nevertheless, we're still standing. And since we're still standing, ladies and gentlemen, I want to recognize some people on here because, you know, I told you, you know, by myself, it didn't work out too cool. And I tried to go through other people's systems. That didn't work out too cool. But I'll tell you one thing, one of the coolest things that ever happened to me was working with this group of people in the National Black Unity News. And since everybody has system, I want to have my own system now. I want to celebrate us, you know, because like I say, we are doing things. I think we are making history with this publication and the people behind the publication, because like I say, we have some powerful people that that work with us. And there's a few people on here. There's I hope she, I'm going to catch everybody kind of blindside. But if you've been on this podcast, you know that's what I do. And I want to highlight this first young lady. And she has been with us since the, you know, from the beginning of this publication. But I've known this young lady for a long time. And she had always put in work. She has always been considerate of others. And I greatly value her opinion about a whole lot of things. But Ms. Fran Allen, can you unmute yourself, please? How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well.
Amen.
I don't know what's wrong with my video. It won't stop.
Uh-oh.
Hey.
All right. And Fran, you know, I'm just talking about, you know, certain things about us, you know, unity, individual system, the world. I mentioned quite a few different things. But, you know, over the years, you know, you have been through, just like myself, like everybody on it, have been through a lot of things in life. And you're not, you know, I know I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years, matter of fact, 6 months ago. You know, I'm constantly evolving. And you've seen the state of systems of the world, you know, you have to deal with that. But you also have to deal with your own individuality. And now here you are at a place in life, and you're in a different state from which you originated from. You know, you have a different mindset about a lot of things now, and your journey. And this is what I'm going to ask most people on here. Friends, after, you know, like you say, you have evolved over these years, and you're dealing with a lot of things. And where you are right now, I'm talking right now in your state of mind today and the thing that you're doing today, how have these evolved? Have your mindset changed about the way things work, you know, not only in your life, but in the system? Like, and I understand, you know, you in a new location. You know, you just left Baltimore about, what, a year ago, maybe a year. And you join the new church and you're dealing with young people and things like that. And have you ever sit down and pondered and wondered why you're doing the things you're doing today? How did you arrive here at this point? And how that you can make changes not only in your own life but in other people, like right now, today. Not what you thought about yesterday. I know you wrote books about this and you wrote this about that, and you're still putting in probably writing another book. But where are you at today, once you came from yesterday, and what are your thoughts about what's going on in the world today, as well as how does it affect you and how you affecting other people right now? I know that's a broad question, but you know what I'm trying to say, where are you today and how are you feeling today about us, about our situation, and how you personally can help people out, but you collectively helping people out?
Okay, Dave, that's a lot.
I know.
So let me just, I can make this real simple. For me, anyway, it's real simple. Before I moved to this place, my journey here started about 2.5, almost 3 years before I actually got here. So I was just talking to my neighbor today about, you know, when I was trying to sell my house in Owings Mills, and for whatever reason, I couldn't get a buyer. And I was like, Lord, why can't I sell this house? But it wasn't time yet. And then I discovered today that when I was begging the Lord to sell my house, the house that he was going to move me to didn't exist yet.
Hmm.
How could I sell the house and move into the house that he had not brought into fruition yet? He knew the plan that he had for me. He knew the path that he had for me, and it was still developing as time was going on, and I was in a hurry, and he had to slow me down. And so the house didn't sell. And then I thought, okay, how am I going to lift this house up again on the little money that I have? Lord, I can't do this. And he gave me a renter for a whole year, almost a year. And they rented my house, and I used their rent to pay the mortgage. So that's how the Lord lifted up that financial blessing. And then at the end of that year, when she did not keep her end of the bargain to buy the house, I was like, Lord, I can't move back into the house, and I still can't afford to pay this mortgage. So now what? And he sent me a buyer. I mean, within 30 days. Now, I've been trying to sell the house for 2 years at that point. And in 30 days, he sent me a buyer, and we closed in 30 days. And I was like, Lord, the Monday I closed, the next Friday I was in North Carolina looking at properties. And the house that I am in, it was too much money. The price tag for this house was larger than I wanted to spend. I got qualified for the money, but I didn't want my mortgage to be over a certain amount because I didn't want to be house rich and cash poor. So I set a limit for myself that I was not going to spend over this amount of money because I was not going to pay over this much for my mortgage. And, you know, that's another thing. God was like, you know, you keep looking to the wrong people for your help. You need to look at me for your help because they can't do nothing without me anyway. So as it turns out, the house that I thought I could not afford, I could afford, and the mortgage was nearly $400 less a month than the mortgage I was paying in Maryland. And, you know, I just had to trust. But I'm different. I'm different in that I have learned that I'm looking to the wrong place for my help. I'm expecting the resources of man to be my rescue. But it was not. It was not. It was my faith in God that was my rescue. And as I moved to this place, and, you know, we all make promises, Lord, if you just get me out of this. Lord, if you just move me away from here. Lord, if you just. And I did it too. But when I got here, there was something about this place that really made me honor my promise, the same way the Lord honors his promises to me. So I told him, you know, I got to find a church. And then he found me a church right behind my house. No excuse. You know, you can walk to church. You ain't got to use no gas. You ain't, you know, none of that. You can get the Bible study. You can work in a food ministry. You can do whatever you're going to do, but it's right there. So you have no excuses. And I go, you know, I spent several hours over there today. But it's not just a place that I go that I work. It's a place that pours into me, too. My pastor, my new pastor, is a real stand-up guy. You know, it is what it is. He believes the word, and he's very literal in his teaching. And he does more teaching than he does preaching, which is something that works way more to my advantage. Because I have been up until that point, that was another thing that I think God really knew I needed to change with. And that was, I'd been in all these churches who were doing all this preaching and wasn't doing much teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And they were preaching about prosperity, and they were preaching about this, that, and the other. And, you know, the money, 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 and, you know, Men's Day and Women's Day and the pastor's anniversary. And we need everybody to give $100. We need... just nonsense. You can't buy and sell stuff in the church. The Lord put people out the temple because they was buying and selling stuff. He shut them down. So what makes you think you're going to come up in the church here now and buy and sell stuff like it's okay? It wasn't okay then. It ain't okay now. Stop. But I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Pastor pointed it out in the word. It's in the word. That wasn't his idea. That wasn't his opinion, just the word. And so I'm so much different now because I was focused so much on what other people thought and how other people felt and you know, what they believed I should be doing and what they believed I should, you know, I should have or you know, what I should be doing with my time or with my resources and all this other stuff, when the reality was all of those things that they wanted me to do was working to their advantage. It wasn't working to my advantage. And I had to learn how to read people and see their intention as it related to me before I could even have a conversation with them, because it was a waste of time. It's a waste of time to have a conversation with somebody and you already know from the jump that they don't mean any good for you. Why are you talking to them? Why are you wasting your time on that? You got to get good at knowing what you're looking at. You see, the National Black Unity News is a place that is filled up with people who have positive intention. There is not one soul that is associated with this paper that I'm aware of any intention to only do good for themselves. They wouldn't last long in this environment anyway, because they get called out, and then after their little baby feelings got hurt, they wouldn't be back anyway. But, hey, you know, I'm still with this paper, David, because I believe in the whole concept that you brought to the table. You remember where we met? Where was it? Miss Shirley's? What was that spot on Route 40?
Yeah, Shirley's.
Yeah. It used to be the IHOP.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I hadn't been in that place in years and years and years and years and years before that. And when you said meet you around there, I thought myself, okay, it's Miss Shirley's now? I thought it was closed up. I didn't even know it was still in business. But I went around there to meet you, and from that day, I knew that I was always going to be a part of this paper. Somehow or another, I was going to be associated with this effort, because it's an effort that I believe is life-changing. It is literally life-changing, and you can use whatever page you have or pages you have or projects you have or whatever. You can use this as a way to change lives, to share possibilities, to develop potential, and you know, to use it to help other people. And when you're helping other people, you're helping yourself anyway.
Yes.
You know, that's a given. You know, whenever you reach out past yourself, when you can see past your own needs to someone else's needs, and you put yourself on a shelf so you can help somebody else, God snatches you off the shelf. You are not on the shelf. You put your own needs aside for a moment to help somebody else who is truly in need. And while you're doing that, God is meeting your needs.
Yep, that's for real.
He is meeting your needs. And I came down here, I did not know a soul. I didn't know a soul. And there have been times when there's, you know, some kids not a few months ago was coming through the neighborhood, breaking into people's cars and stuff. Well, I don't park Lorraine outside. Lorraine has a house. She's in the garage. She got an address too. And but my neighbors, they called me. Where's your car? It's in the garage. Oh, okay. You know, because sometimes in the evening, if I've been someplace, I might pull up in the driveway and not pull all the way into the garage. And they're like, pull in tonight. Kids around the neighborhood, you know, tearing up stuff. You know, we're going to catch them, but just to be on the safe side, they're looking out for me. These people don't know me, and I don't know them. Never knew them, but you know what? They look after me, and that's nothing but God. That's God surrounding me with the angels, because I'm trying to do the right thing. So the whole thing for me, the National Black Unity News, it's like I do. I'm going to turn it out. I'm turning it out in April, Dave. I get my article from my little contributing young motivator tomorrow. I get his article tomorrow. I can't wait to read it. I saw him in church yesterday, and he said, "Miss Fran, I'm almost done." He was so proud of his little 8-year-old self. And, I mean, he can do it. How come everybody else can?
Yeah.
If he can, he's 8. He is 8. He can do it, and he is this excited about it. How come, you know, the other kids, they don't want to be bothered? Writing isn't important.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessary. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. I said, you don't write? No, we type. I said, you don't even understand that when you're typing, you're still writing, boo. For real? You know, you don't get it. They don't get it. They don't know what they don't know, but I'm still going to be trying to teach them. And, you know, this experience, all of this has just made me see that I do have a lot to offer. I can't come down here and just sit down. See, I really did have an idea that I was going to come down here. I'm not doing nothing. I'm not writing in the paper. That was a lie. I'm not going to do any podcasts. That was a lie. I'm not working in a church. I'm not going around there. That was a big lie. I'm not working with none of these kids in the neighborhood. The kids don't have no respect for nobody anyway. Yeah, and all the children in the neighborhood know me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I thought I knew what I was going to do. And God was just laughing at my little jokes because he was already, girl, I got stuff for you to do. And you want these blessings, you're going to do what I tell you to. And that's exactly what I'm doing, just trying to be obedient, just trying to listen to his voice instead of my own and really do the things that he's calling me to do, even when my spirit might feel anxious. You know, when my spirit feels anxious, I just ask him to take that anxiety and turn it into fuel because it can't stop me. Only I can stop me.
That's right.
Only I can stop me. Only you can stop you.
That's right.
So, you know, on my website, it'll say, you know, Fran Allen, let Fran Allen help you get out of your own way. Fran Allen had to help herself get out of her own way. Mm-hmm. And I've done that. And now people are hitting my LinkedIn account. I had 73 hits the other day. And I thought, good Lord. Okay. They knowing the name. They seeing the name somewhere. I believe it's the National Black Unity News. I believe it's the distribution of the paper. The paper is all over the field. They read those articles, and then they look for the name, and
mm-hmm.
they find it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Fran, let me say this to you. You know, like I said, I appreciate you so much because, we go a long way back, and you're a very unique person. You know, you did what you had to do with what you had to work with over the years,
yeah.
and you made great, great contributions. And I just want people to know when I say it's not us, then whom? If not now, then when? And you know, we all have, you know, a past history of doing this and doing that, and that's good. But yesterday is yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I just want people to know, especially with the publication, that we still doing work. You'd be surprised at some of the ages that working with this publication. You know, we at certain ages, and we still putting in work. Some of us called ourselves retiring, like Fran said, this is it. I ain't going to do no more. But, you know, but like you say, God do have a sense of humor because he will put you to work. Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. You know,
yep.
and he works. Now, speaking of that, there's another young lady on here, Dr. Wattis. Now, you know, and Dr. Wattis considered herself retired one time, but she never stopped working. You know? So she just throw that out the window because we work her in the National Black Unity News. Trust me,
yeah.
She has to go to work with us, but she does such. She's the editor of the National Black Unity News. She dots her I's and crosses her T's, and she don't have to do any of this, but she does it out of her heart because she loved doing what she's doing, but she loved working with people like us. She loved us helping us.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I would just, Dr. Wattis, I would just ask Fran where she at today. Now, I'm going to just put this out here right now. I got a package last week from Dr. Wattis, a bunch of CDs. I need a little help on these CDs because it's in the, I ain't put too much work on it yet because I'm doing the paper part too. But, you know, it's a thing we have to transfer the thing. It's what you call, it's in the backup file, that it's in another format. But I did research on it, Dr. Wattis, and I'll have it up and running soon.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody knows about CDs and transferring, you know, from the backup files, let me know. I know it's a simple mistake, but I do know there's some programs that I can download to you know, to transfer them, you know, from different formats. But Dr. Wattis sent me these CDs I'm talking about. Now, Dr. Wattis, as I mentioned before, she's doing this and she's doing that. And then she said she ran across some of her archives, stuff she had around the house. And lo and behold, she discovered something. What did you discover, Dr. Wattis, that you sent to me?
Several VHS videos that I had
compiled over the years of B. Gaddy and I when we were traveling on the road and so forth and so on. And I knew I had them, but I had forgotten about them, you know. But and I started playing them, and I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's when we were in North Carolina and attending different workshops, and when she had the Nigerian group come from Nigeria. They were supposed to go someplace else, but they found her somehow, and they ended up at her place, and I had a whole videotape of that. And then when the Sun paper had started attacking her, and she had done a video, I had a video of that. I'm like, oh my God, I've got a gold treasure here, you know? So what I'm doing is trying to get this documentary together, because so many people got so much from her, and so many people still have forgotten about her. Hold on one second. Get off here.
Yes, but I can add a little while she's taking care of that. And see, Dr. Ortiz, even before she found these tapes, you know, she had already written a book about B. Gaddy. And for those of you know who don't know who B. Gaddy is in the Baltimore, she had Thea Deans, her mother Teresa, because she had fed so many people. She had, you know, did so much for so many. I mean, every year you couldn't find a bigger feast for the homeless and the needy and those who just down on their luck. And B. Gaddy would have this. I mean, she had gathered so many people from all over the state and even across the country would have come to support this thing, because B. Gaddy, like I say, her and everybody who worked would put on such a major event. And I mean, it was astronomical to do things the way she did it. And she went on to got involved with politics as well. And so, you know, so she is on. She's no longer with us today, but her works. We have people on here now like Rico Crowley, who's doing some of the same things that she has done. So many other people have learned from her, you know, and this is the power of one. When somebody put their mind to do something, like a Fran Al, who had put her mind to do something, like a Dr. Ortiz, who had put her mind, and she had done so many things. But sometimes, you know, life take us here and take us there. And just like Dr. YT said, written the book. And it's amazing because me and Bill Gooden, you know, and Dr. YT, we put this book together. We had it published, you know, and everything. So we, you know, this is what collaboration does. And now all of a sudden she's doing this and doing that, help still doing things with the papers. She find these tapes. And next thing you know, it's about B. Gaddy. So now she's going to do a documentary. And she asked me to help her, and I believe, because I'm planning on doing a documentary myself about some things that just happened recently. And so, you know, and I think it's going to give me the expertise, the experience. Once I do hers, that I can do mine a little bit better. But in any case, when Dr. White says she can come back in. But there's another young lady on here. I'm dealing with ladies because I'm falling in traditional man and their systems, and dealing with our ladies first, and we do have to honor our black women. This honor all of them, but I especially like to honor our black women, because women have done so much in my life. Oh, man, I don't even want to go there, man. You know, without them, you know, of course, none of us wouldn't be here, but I know, I mean, the strongest people I know in my life are women, and because I could just use my mother, for instance. She had 8 children. She had to deal with my father because he fell down, but she had to stand up. And she did whatever she had to do, and she's still doing. Here she is, 93 years old, and still doing. You know, she, out of her, over 85 people came from out of her. And she dealt with all of us and our issues and everything else. And so, you know, I salute our women. And speaking of women, Miss Trudy Williams, can you unmute yourself? Yeah. How you doing?
Good. How is everyone on the call?
All right. Quick.
Fran, I have a testimony because I'm like, you're always reading my notes. I'm like, oh, my God, we think, I mean, it's here. It was so refreshing for you to talk about your journey, your move, and God, and in your life, because this is the second confirmation this week to me that God is talking to me specifically, seeking first the kingdom of God. And I did some research, and then it came back again. You know how God is. He's like, okay, that was over there, but I'm talking to you. So he did it again. But your word confirms it. You know, your speech tonight is that seeking the kingdom is so much more than money. And we in our humanity try to put God in a box, but he's spirit. And he won't allow us. So I was on my computer today, two nights in a row, still thinking about the same thing. And you're right. It's about his appointed time. It wasn't time for you to move. You had your vision, but you know God can tell you something, and it's not going to happen tomorrow. He positions you to be able to receive. But when I started looking at it, I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, God, what are you saying to me? Help me to be clear. Help me to know exactly what it is. And this tonight is the second confirmation. So I know that he is talking to me. And you're right. It's all about understanding the word. I grew up in the church. And in this past 2 years, I think I've learned more than I did my whole 40 years, 45 years, you know, being in a Baptist church, because it was about preaching. It wasn't about teaching. And now, I mean, we know God. I know God for myself. That's so amazing. What I want to say about the newspaper, it's not us. I don't know the slogan, but when, I think when you start looking at a unit or the nucleus or a core, people will come and people will go. But there is always a core that is going to remain. And for those that come and go, I guess in my mind that they weren't really, it was a passing fancy, you know, but when people start to take us seriously, start to want to better us, start to stimulate thoughts, try to find better, measures for us, like David says, solution oriented. That is the core, solution oriented, and that is, I mean, that's what attracted me, you know, to a movement, doing something, you know, moving in the right direction. So I thank you guys for allowing me to be a part.
I appreciate that, Trudy, and you know, and I mentioned some people come and they go, you know, but you know, but we always have a core of us that hold down the fort no matter what. And but you know some people, like I say, you know, with whatever issues they may have, you know, because, you know, to be quite frank with you, we are, like I say, this I have said this over many times, this publication is by divine inspiration. Even though me and Bill put this thing together originally from our physical standpoint, but this thing is ran by God from my perspective, and so am I. And you know, we have helped a lot of people. You know, some people is here for a season. Their mission was just for that season. You know, their article was just for that season sometimes, to be somebody. And I don't know who, what, why, what for sometimes, but I do know, you know, words do not come back void. And there's something, like I said, there's a lot of issues, but you know, we have always have the foundation was always in place, and it's still in place. And you know, like I say, we have people that left, have come back, but whatever, you know, whatever happens to people, you know, but you know, we're still standing, because it does take a village to do what we do, and the village is still intact. But you know, the strangest thing is about the National Black Unity, especially this time. This is the time we actually formulating the publication for the April, May, June issue. And I said, I don't know if you notice my jaws, I don't know if it may be, you know, it's kind of swollen. I'm having a real gum problem. That's why I talked the way, you know, but, you know, keep me in prayer. Go to the dentist, back to the dentist tomorrow. But, you know, but you know, and it's strange, I've been sleeping a lot lately, and it's paper time. This is crunch time. You know, I'm supposed to be, you know, on the battlefield. And the last four or five issues, for some reason, no matter how hard David Murphy get, David Murphy got to do this, David Murphy got to do that, I get shut down every time. And it just seems like God said, watch me work. In spite of, here it is, you done it, and down to the last minute. And somehow it never, ever fails. Never fails. The publication comes out, the finances come through, and everything. And I just, now, you know, I'm beginning to learn, like I say, David used to do this thing, and I used to be in this system, this, that, but I'm learning. And I'm listening to you ladies, what you say, I'm learning to let go and let God now. Yeah. Because like I say, no matter how hard I try, that traditionally, I'll be pulling my head out right now. You know, man, you know, I'll be up and, man, matter of fact, I'll go to cancel this tonight because I got to do that. But you know, but that's the way it works. And, you know, but the strangest thing is, when people leave, people come in.
Yes, they do.
And that's a strange thing. And since we have a young lady on here that just came in, and we have several new people that's on board with us, Dr. Ali, Nala Ali, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I hope everybody else is. Good evening.
Good evening. And Dr. Ali, she's, you know, she's right up amongst us because she's an author as well. And she's a motivation speaker. Fran, does that sound familiar? You know? And she does things, you know, she does a lot of things. So I just want to ask you a simple question, Dr. Ali, is this. I know that you came in through a gentleman by Dr. Leroy McKenzie, introduced you to that. He did, had you in the publication in the author showcase. But what piqued your interest by coming into the National Black Unity News?
Well, you know, Leroy loves the black newspaper, so he's a good salesperson. And he just really encouraged me, and he felt like that we would be a good connect. I would be a good connect with you all. And he felt like it was a community that I could get involved with, and also to allow my voice to be heard, for me to write my opinions and, you know, my truth be told, because when I write, I talk, try to tell the truth about things. I do a lot of research. I don't just run my mouth about things. I like to really know what I'm talking about. So that's what got me really involved. Mr. McKenzie sold me to become a part of you all's team.
Okay. And while we have you here, matter of fact, I want to say welcome aboard. And but, you know, again, tell me, just give, you know, for time's sake, give us a little excerpt from your couple of books, what they're about.
Freedom Within the Looking Glass is the second book I wrote. My first book is Free at Last. Free at Last is the autobiography of my life story. It's a good read. Tell some things about me that happened from a teenager and how God freed me from that circumstance and situation. I don't always say a lot of things about it because I encourage people to buy the book. Freedom Within the Looking Glass is a book that I wrote about relationships on the plantation. And a lot of people who read the book thought the book was written by a Caucasian person because I told the story about the emotions of how people were intertwined while living on the plantation. It's a very good book. It has a lot of exercises in it. I tell people how to become free. I wrote a chapter in the third book called The Anthology of Joy, which is being released this month. And I wrote a chapter in that book on scars, and the book talks about the chapter talks about inward and outward scars and how to heal from scars. So I'm a writer. I express, you know, the way I feel about things. I'm a licensed esthetician. I'm a wellness consultant. I help people heal from scars inwardly and outwardly. That is my life. I am a coach, speaker, teacher, prophetess. I do a little bit of it all. I just love people, helping people. I would piggyback a little bit off of what Fran was saying about, you know, ministry and church. And I found out that someone had got removed from the church because they wouldn't say, "I'm sorry." And I'm just a little bit tired, like Fran said, religion, you know, people wanting you to do this, all the auxiliaries. And I found a book that I wrote 2 years ago. I don't know how I sort of forgot about it. And my niece had actually did the editing of the book. And that's what the book talks about, living in the kingdom, that the kingdom is built on relationship and not religion, that God did not create all of the denominations out there. You have all of these different rules and guidelines, and you should do this and you shouldn't do that. And none of the rules and guidelines, they're really a corporation. And I just know that with what's going on with the world right now, we must go to the highways and byways and compel people to come in. That is what ministry to me is about, training and equipping and sending out, training, equipping and sending out, not holding people bondage in a building all of your life and you never get out to go and minister. Jesus was amongst sinners. He was always out helping people in the community. The book of Acts churches, to me, what our ministries and our churches should be about, that we should be out there. I'm not telling people to knock on doors, but God did send them out two by two, and we should be out ministering to people. So I piggyback off of Fran and say thank you for opening that up, because I was feeling your heart tonight. As far as what's going on in the world, I just feel like it's a time to really sit down and talk to the Creator and find out where your place is. I don't believe that we should just sit back on our laurels and do nothing. I feel that everybody has a community. Everybody has a people that God wants us to touch. For me, because I was a rebellious teenager, because my mother had left her kids, I was very rebellious, and I was a child, a teenager, said, "Don't nobody tell me what to do. You don't tell me what to do." I didn't listen to anyone because there was a lot of pain there. So my gift is to broken women and broken teenagers. I was worked for the state of North Carolina for 12 years, counseling and teaching teenagers. I still have some of those teenagers in my life. They're grown now, and the world needs somebody to teach them. Kids are hurting. Kids nowadays, my heart goes out to teenagers, because they're different from when I was a child. Kids nowadays don't care. They will die in a minute. They don't care. They don't believe in God. They don't believe that, you know, and I this is just my opinion, Dr. Nyla Ali, and we all have our own opinions. I just feel like teenagers now have not seen the move of God like we did when we was coming up. When I was coming up, I saw the power of God. I saw God move. You know, when we was in church, it was about praying all night. We was in, you know, prayed all night long. We fasted, we prayed, and we was for our community. If there was drug dealers in the community, we pray all night, and the next thing we know, the drug dealers was caught. You know, nobody. And I mean, there may be some people in the communities doing some things, but you don't hear a lot about where people are really going out here helping our youth. Our youth are in pain. Our youth are afraid, you know, and they're turning to all kind of things. I mean, in our community, we didn't have that many people killing themselves. Our children are killing themselves because they just don't care. So, you know, the newspaper is an avenue for us to open up and to mother, speak to children, speak to youth. Fran, I applaud you for allowing this young man to be on your page, you know, because they need an outlet. And that's just where I am right now, setting the captives free, speaking, teaching. And I don't want to offend anybody, but I just choose not to serve white Jesus no more. I refuse not to accept what I was taught years ago growing up, where the missionaries came in and took the slaves and bought us here, and we should do this and we should do this and we should do that. When I was trying to open up my spa in North Carolina, just a little side journey, I went to the bank to get money, and I lived off of Country Club Road in North Carolina. And and the banker really had a problem with me wanting to open up a business in that area. And I opened up the business because it was on the side of town. I could actually walk to my job, the building that I found. And he really had a problem with me. I went to several different banks, and the white man really, you know, had a problem with the fact that I wanted to open up a business in that community. But you all do know that, you know, when you do your research, you go and open up a business where once everybody paid their bills, there's money left. So where I was looking to open up my business, you know, it was in that particular area. And one day I was just crying, God, why do they treat us so bad? Why? I mean, it was really just, I was moaning and groaning and curled up in my bed, just, why, Lord, I'm so tired of them treating us this way. And, you know, the Lord really just gave me a lot of answers, and I'm satisfied with what he told me. I'm satisfied with what he shared with me. I know who I am now. I know that I, from royalty, I really have found out a lot of information, so I'm creating a lot of different products. I'm speaking and teaching. I'm having workshops teaching people about who they are, where they come from. I'm crowning women. I don't know if anybody's been on my Facebook page, but I crowned all of my sisters. I invited them to my home. I had the red carpet laid out for them. I put crowns in their head, and I just, you know, minister to them, because we as women need to know that we are somebody. You know, we go through these things in lives. Women, we have on so many different hats. You know, and we need to recognize, and we need to be told that we are enough. You know, we are more than enough, and that we can make it in this life. But my journey is very broad. I have a lot of hats on my head. But I know that God called me to do all these things, and he's purposed me, because the word of God says the righteous are as bold as a lion. God called me because he knew that I would open up my mouth and tell the truth. I'm not afraid. I'm a fighter. I'm a warrior. If I know that somebody's beating up my girlfriend, I will go in and I will fight for them. If I know somebody is hurting a kid, I will go in and I will fight for them, because God is looking for warriors. We can't be jellybacks, sitting back just allowing things to happen. So that's where I am. I'm expanding, setting up these workshops and seminars, having retreats for women, just to teach them that they are royal, and teaching them about their Black history. Well, not even Black. We came from Negro land. I learned we the Negroes, and we don't want to be called Negroes, but you'll find out eventually that the Negroes was the chosen people there from Judah, and we are God's chosen people. And that's why they treat us, because they know who we are. We just don't. We don't know that we are the chosen ones. But they do. When I say the chosen ones, you guys, I want you to really grasp a hold to it, that it's not the people over in the other land in Jerusalem. It's really us. They brought us here, but it's really us. And you'll find out I'm writing several books out there about it. I've been studying this since 2007, and I'm just at peace with who I am now, and I just want the world to know. I want our little girls and our women to know that there's some. I want our men to know that they're really kings, that we stem from King David and King Solomon and Christ, that the blood of King David and King Solomon runs through the African-Americans' veins. I mean, that's deep to me, knowing that that blood right there is running through us, you know, and that's why they stomp on us, crush us, put knee on our necks, because they wish it was them, and it's not. It's us, the chosen generation. So I don't know what else to say. That's who and what I am.
Well, let me say this to you. You said quite a bit, and you know, and you do quite a lot, and I, you know, that's why I say, you know, how God just brings people in. You know, like I say, we fighting on so many different fronts, and God's putting up a people for this part, for that part. And you know, we're doing it now.
I do want to say that I did open up that spa in North Carolina. It was a very famous spa. The celebrities love the spa. Jada Pick, a lot of different people came through there, and they call it the spa of excellence. So Dr. Miles Monroe, I had lots of kings people came there, you know, but my dad got sick, and when my dad got sick, I closed my business and I came back home. And I'll never go back to North Carolina because I really realized that my family here in Maryland, D.C. needs me. So I left a legacy in North Carolina, though. I love those people.
All right. Okay. I appreciate that. And
can you put her information in the chat? I'm sorry. Can you put the information in the chat?
I'm sorry. I'm not technically inclined. I don't even know how.
Vernon, I would give it to you a little later, okay?
All right.
All right. But speaking
of... Vernon.
Yeah, I'll take care of that. But we have a podcast tomorrow night when we talk about the National Black Unity News. And we have a gentleman on here, Mr. Michael Haney, will be featured tomorrow night. But I'm going to say something. You know, I had the opportunity to interview him this week. Man, and he kind of sparked me because he brought back a lot of things to my memories, you know, about journeys, or what people have to go through on an individual basis. I can't wait to release this podcast because I think everybody really needs to look at it. But I'm gonna let him speak a little bit about what he's gonna be talking about tomorrow, but a little bit about himself because, like I say, some people leave, some people go. Michael Haney was in our last issue, and he's gonna be in this issue as well. But this is a powerful brother. He has a powerful podcast, man. I mean, I listened to it yesterday. I was on there, and he had this brother on there who came from the penal institution, and now this brother doing all sorts of wonderful things, you know. And he just brings people, all kinds of people, to come on his podcast. But Michael himself is a powerful brother. I know he probably won't say this, but I'm going to say it. Do y'all remember in the old movies, and you heard about all our old entertainers when they had to travel to all of the Chitlin' Circuit, they used to call it, and they would go to all of the major cities and stuff, but they couldn't go to the hotels, even though they was performing there. They couldn't stay there. They had to go in the back doors. And, and this has been the history. We had the Green Book. Remember, they used to travel up and down the road. We had to know where you can go, where you can stop at to get rest or even to get food and stuff like this. But this brother here is such a pioneer. I know our people will be turning over in their grave to see that the heights that this brother had made. He came up in what I call in the industry of hospitality, hotel business. And this brother, man, as a black man, when we couldn't go in the front door, he was the one who became the head man in charge of many of the hotels. He opened up the doors for many people to bring other people up in the industries. This brother had to go through a lot to get to what he have achieved. And so with that being said, Brother Michael Haney, how you doing, sir?
Hey, David, thanks a lot, and hello to everyone. This has become a very important time of the week for me in my life, 7:30 every Monday. God willing, I'm able to make it, and I made it a point to finish what I had to do to make it today, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow evening. You're right, yesterday was a powerful podcast talking about redemptive value and how do we treat each other in our worst moments and give each other the support that we need. And to what Fran and the other women were saying, it's always our women that we can depend on to do that. So, and I say that to say that, my birthday is this coming Sunday, and this is always a very powerful, reflective week for me, particularly lately in my life as I take inventory and look at myself and see what I'm doing, because there's no doubt in my mind that God's question for me at the gates of heaven is, what did you do for your fellow man? How did you live your life? Not how much money I had or what position I did in life. But I say that to say this Sunday, in testimony to Fran and all the other wonderful ladies that shared, and the remarkable ladies that we've heard about this month, as we focus on a month of women and history of women, and I'm going to narrow that down to Black women and the power of Black women. And I heard the young lady talk about us men being kings. Well, we're only kings when we have the queens in our life to support us and hold us up, particularly as Black people, as Black men, as we're stepped on. You know what I'm saying? Because we are so powerful. And to have this coming Sunday, my birthday, the ability to have my mother, right, to interview my mother, right? I don't know how many people have ever had that opportunity to say, hey, I'm going to bring my mother and my 94-year-old aunt, who was my surrogate mother, or those two co-matriarchs, and have conversation with them about their life, not about me, but about them, and give them the opportunity. I mean, how more important can it be to be in a situation, as I've seen so many people lose theirs, and tell them they can share mine and to hear their life story? So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm really looking forward to this reflective period for me to ensure that as I take my inventory, I'm not only doing right by me, but I'm doing right by God, because as I do right by me, I'm going to do right by God. And you can believe I'm going to do right by you. So, David, thanks a lot for letting me share. I look forward to tomorrow. Thanks for the great conversation.
Yeah. And again, thank you, Mike, because, like I say, you're doing great and wonderful things. And, you know, this brother, man, has a huge inventory, just like the rest of you. You know, that's why I say, man, I keep saying this word, where I sit, because I sit in a unique place. I sit in a circle of wonderful people like yourselves who does so many great and wonderful things. And I am truly amazed. See, I could see God, you know, I see God works not only in my own life, but in your lives as well. Because like I say, your journey is so unique. And you know, this is the thing. One thing about the National Black Unity News, we just tip of the iceberg. But by you being in this publication, you know, you are sharing your stories. And this is a unique time in history, because now we can share our story. Because back in the past, they wouldn't share them. They wouldn't even tell them to us. And now this day, because of the internet, social media and everything else, now things go viral. Once it starts being on this internet thing, it stays out there. You never know who gets it, who receives it. And do you know the way it's set up? Your children's children, and their children can see your words, what you have done today, what you have put in this publication today. This publication do go to the Library of Congress. Every Black news, any newspaper ends up there. And maybe they don't put everything on display, because we under suspect, you know, but they just want to keep tabs on us. But at the same time, your family members from future generation to see what we are talking about right now, the things that we saying right this day. So you are telling your story. You are sharing your story. And that's one of the reasons why I'm doing interviews, and I will be doing an interview with, if he's still around, Fran, Trudy, and everybody else, I'm going to do interviews with him. Even though I know you, some of your stories that we had talked in the past, you know, but I'm going to do this because it's extremely important. Just like Michael Haney, when I did interview with him, I learned so much about this brother. And you know, even though he can write an article, but that doesn't, you know, like I said, that's only the tip of the iceberg of the person behind that pen. And I believe, I personally believe that all of these stories need to be shared, and I will be putting them on the website, the National Black Unity News website, you know, so it will stay viral. And people can know, you know, some of the true history, our story, our true story, because it's told by us. And so that's a powerful, powerful thing. And with that being said, another event is coming up real soon. It's a powerful event because we need this event. Brother Cliff, can you unmute yourself, sir? How you doing,
greetings.
Sir?
All greetings. Right, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And Brother Cliff is having an event coming up, and he sent me a lot of information. I tried to email most of you the information, because this brother put out, when he put out stuff, he put out a lot of information, and you can't send that through a text or email the way I do people. I can't text. I can only tell you the dates and times. But I did, for most of you, I did email to you some of the information. But I want you to let people know what's coming up Wednesday. Why, what, for, how, come.
Okay. Wednesday will be our third Zoom meeting of the, what is tentatively at the moment named the Maryland Pan-African Cooperative Coalition. And that name may change depending on what everyone in the membership decides that they want to refer to it as once it gets fully up and off the ground. We had a meeting on Wednesday, January 19th. We had another meeting on Thursday, February 24th. And this meeting will be this coming Wednesday, March 16th. And the idea of it is to basically just try to bring as many of our different types of organizers together from cultural, spiritual, economic, legal, educational, media, business, scientific, prisoner outreach, political organizers, revolutionary Pan-Africanists, international organizers, bring them all together so that we can find ways that each of these different types of organizations' essential missions can work toward a coordinated and unified goal. And the fact of the matter is we've had a lot of efforts that have launched over the centuries, from economic efforts like Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, political organizing like Wilmington, North Carolina in 1898, all the way up to what the Black Panther Party did in the 70s, and what a lot of other civil rights and Black power organizers did over the years. And one of the reasons why those different efforts did not succeed the way they had been intended to was not because they didn't work. They worked fine, but the problem was that when you attempt to lift yourself up politically by establishing the kind of political representation you want, and the people who have determined that they will be your enemies decide that they are going to counter your political efforts by launching a military-style attack, that pretty much ends your political organizing. All they have to do is just bomb you out of existence, and you're gone. And that's what happened in Wilmington, North Carolina in 1898. That's what happened to the economic program, Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 1921. And something similar happened to the Panthers in the 70s, where they were not ready to counter a combination of infiltration by the FBI, military-style assaults by local and national police, and a coordinated effort of essentially legal prosecution that was imposed upon the Panthers by the FBI and by the legal system, whereby all of their leadership were captured, tried, and convicted all at the same time. Our enemies find where we are weak and they attack us there. And if we want to ensure the success of our efforts, we have to find a way to defend ourselves against these threats from all fronts. And we have to be able to do it in a coordinated way so that we can protect each other. Our legal organizers can protect our grassroots activists and our spiritual activists and our cultural activists and our businesses. Our political organizers can set the political landscape so that the efforts of prison organizers and media and scientific, basically scientific organizers and activists can succeed. So that's the main idea behind this, is to try to find a way to bring all of these different types of organizations together so that we can work with our own organizational missions. We're not asking organizations to join each other or to decide that they're going to believe as the other organizers believe, but simply to get them together so that they can agree on a way in which they can all work together in a cooperative manner so that we can all lift ourselves up. And so we're going to have a meeting at 7 o'clock on Wednesday, and the Zoom link should, I think Elder Murphy should have the Zoom link. And if not, I can send that out again. And this meeting, I'm going to estimate this meeting will go between 1 and 2 hours. We're trying to limit how much we try to get into it. The first meeting went like 3 hours because everyone was introducing themselves. The second meeting went just over an hour, hour and a half, because at that point we'd gone through the introductory phase. And I had, actually, I'm going to have two co-hosts for this, Elder Murphy and also Mama Tomiko. And because I brought them on as co-hosts, that second meeting on Thursday was able to move along pretty quickly. They kept me from talking too much. They kept everybody else from talking too much. And so as a result, we were able to get through the agenda for that meeting, which was essentially to look at or contemplate what we would want to have in a cooperative, unified Black or Pan-African agenda. So after that meeting, the last email I sent out, which Elder Murphy was saying had a lot of information in it, I had several different types of Black agendas that were attached. Everything from the more mainstream Black Folks Plan that the African Diaspora Directorate had put out, all the way up to and including the, I guess one might say, leftist agenda of the Black Left Unity Network. And there were a number of other agendas in between. There's the Gary, Indiana effort that was done in 1972. There's the National Black Agenda Consortium that had put together an agenda in 2017 and updated in 2020. There was a Pan-African agenda that my organization, Sixth Region Diaspora Caucus, had put together with help from a number of people in our local community at Arts Social Club in 2017. And there are a few others as well. So the idea is for people to be able to take a look at those different agendas to the degree that they can and say, I like this from that one. I like this from that one. I'm not so sure about this piece here. And see if we can find a way to come up with a comprehensive Pan-African agenda that, again, all of our organizers can embrace. And when we get to having public town hall meetings again, we see about getting that kind of buy-in at the same time from our grassroots communities and get their information and all too. So to me, that's the first step, is deciding what our operating principles are going to be, what our general Black agenda, Pan-African agenda is going to be, and then get into the questions of what the organizational structure will be. This is the organizational structure that I favor, and I can explain that some other time. But there are others, and also work out how the coalition itself will make decisions, how we will tackle existing issues, how we will pursue proactive agenda items. So right now it's still kind of in the formative stages. So some people say, well, what are the goals of the, what are you trying to do? We're figuring out what it is exactly that we're trying to do right now. But basically it's about finding a standing structure that we can use to lift our people up and do it in a cooperative way that as many of our different organizations can embrace as possible. And we can get away from some of the competition, some of the factionalism, that quite frankly keeps us from unifying as a people.
I appreciate that, Brother Cliff. And the way I see what Cliff is saying is this. You know, we've been crying out, saying, people say we can't work together, but I have known in my lifetime and recently seven other ethnic groups, put it that way, and said that, I told you the story, but maybe you may not heard one time. I told you there was a group of this Asian organization here in Maryland, in Baltimore. And they told me, one guy came up to me at an event, this Asian brother, looked like he's from Pakistan somewhere. But they had and he said, we would like to talk to you. And he invited me to this meeting, and I met quite a few, about 15 of them. Different type of age from different persuasions, put it that way. And they asked me, they say I was highly recommended to put together a Black directory. I had this brother with me too, because they invited me, but I didn't want to go there by myself. So, and I asked the question, why do y'all want to put together a black directory? You know, y'all Asians, you know what, you know, because I already knew that they see wealth in us, you know, and I thought it was a lot of hidden agendas why they wanted to do this. But one guy spoke up, and he said, very frankly, he said, of all the people of the world, he said, you black people is the only one that have any sense of unity. He said, y'all don't seem to know it. And he also said, he went on to mention, he said, he even talked about themselves. He said, we as Asians, we don't even get along with each other. He said, Japanese don't deal with the Chinese. The Vietnamese don't deal with the Philippines. He just went on and on. And he said, and then he also said the same thing about the Hispanic community, the Mexicans, and just this, that, you know. And he just went on and on and on, you know. And when, you know, how people deem us as minorities, he said, but out of all the minority groups, he said, you black people has always stuck together. Y'all come from all over. Y'all have, you know, different this and different that, he said. But one thing about it, you know, he said, y'all, you have a little issues with something, he said, but everybody, all races had those same issues, you know, with this, that. But what Brother Cripp is doing is this, because we do have little few things that keep us separated. But 80, 90% of the things that we unite on, you know, but we let the small percentage of things, that's what keeps us apart. And with this will, Brother Cripp, is, like I say, it's not people got to conform to somebody else's agenda. You stick with your own agenda. You do what you do. But it would be nice if I was involved with the media section on here that he has here, and there was other media outlets. Remember, I keep saying we own less than 1% of the media. We need all the voices we can get. It's enough room for all of us. And can you imagine if something should happen to one of us, to one of our other groups, one of the protesting groups, or one of the religious groups, anything, they're being attacked. How we in the media can come together and sound the alarm or put out information by us, because you know the spin when other groups, other media gets a hold of us. I don't care how well you are, how much you can sing, how much you can dance, how well you play ball. They have scandalized us through media, their media. And if you look at other white folks and other groups, from their perspective, ain't none of us no good. But we need, like I said earlier, we need to share our own stories. And that way, you know, that's why the National Black Unity News is so important, because this is by us and it's for us. See, we ain't got to kowtow to nobody, you know, because we run the show, you know, and we support our own. But, you know, there's several people, I know time is getting there. I don't want to hold you long, but you know how I do. I want everybody to get in. Brother Dr. Leroy McKenzie, you want to share a few words before we shut down? Unmute yourself, sir.
Just really, really quickly, because I came in really, really, really late, Brother David, of course. Mm-hmm. I think it's awesome what we're doing here. Brother Cliff has some powerful things that he's moving on and moving out. So it's just an exciting time for the National Black Unity News and just us as a people. It just shows the power that we have when we collectively move together, and we don't have the expectation of anyone else coming to save us, because we say here, nobody's coming to save us but us, and we have everything that we need in order to be able to do what we need to do and do what we want to do. So I'm just appreciative of being a part of this group, of this family, and seeing what we do in all of us, and then and for the community as well.
I appreciate you, brother. Keep doing what you're doing. Brother Ransom, how you doing, sir? Can you unmute yourself? Brother Ransom, if you can. Maybe step to it. Okay. All right, Brother Umoja, how you doing, sir?
I'm all right.
All right. You want to share a few words before we shut down?
Well, I enjoyed listening to everybody tonight and what you were saying about the Asian guy. It's very true. It's the fact that we are together, and I've been trying to tell people that we have been together for a long time, but so many people have been listening to the rhetoric that we're not together. So the first thing people say, if we're not together, we can't be together. And we have always been together. And it's a strange thing that a foreigner, someone that's not like us, would tell you that we are together. An outsider could see it. That's a beautiful thing, because we are together, and we have always been together. I like
that. Well, I like it, too, because now that you mention it that way, you know, even coming up in the hood, I came up in the hood of Baltimore, in the streets of Baltimore, but, you know, with eight of us. But, you know, the strange thing, it wasn't strange, but normal. When people saw that, yeah, most people had large families, but, you know, someone worked at the bakery, they would drop off bread to you. If somebody had clothes, extra clothes or something, they would give it to you back in them days. You could sit at anybody's table back in them days. I've seen people, the extended family, the outside people that support one another. But, you know, yeah, you know, now that I think about it, we always had calls. Brother Rico, would you like to share a few words? Okay.
I just want to say hello to everybody.
All right, my brother. And you know, Rico is not a man of many words, but guess what I had the pleasure of doing? I had the pleasure of interviewing him as well. And this brother, man, like I say, he's a soldier. We talked about B. Gaddy earlier today. But in the spirit of B. Gaddy, there's a Rico Crowley who's out there feeding the homeless, sharing food for the needy, and he have a program called God's Giving Hand. And I strongly suggest that y'all support this organization because, you know, I had the privilege of working with him one day. I volunteered one day, and I saw how his operation worked. Man, they had about 13, 14 tables out there. They had food, a lot of food, hot food, wasn't there, you know, and they had all type of clothing and other information that they gave to the people as they came through, and it was a long line, but they worked with precision. And not only that, I didn't see not one person frowning or look like they didn't want to be like they was happy to be there. They was grateful, and as well as the people who was giving, who was, you know, receiving the food, they was grateful and everything like that. But the most beautiful thing I saw, you know, not only they was feeding and sharing, but they packed up, put all of them tables and cars and trucks and moved about 25 minutes away and did it all over again. They take stuff out and laid it up. I mean, it was like an army, you know, event. You know, they, just like that, they had it set up again and fed another whole group of people. But again, you know, when you give, you shall receive. But, you know, but when you give to an organization like God-Giving Hand, it actually goes to the community. It serves its purpose. And in this day and the time, a lot of people are hurting. And by the grace of God, there go I. Because I could be, you know, you never know. And like I say, what's going on in the warfare, they don't never think it's going to happen to us. And we need people like Rico out there because just what you said, and can't think of the country where they fight having a war at right now. I'm getting old senior moment. And but you see millions of people have been uprooted just like that. And I was watching the news today, you know, they just another part of the city got a part of that country was getting bombed. And these children and women and men had to walk so many places to get to this shelter in the wintertime, snowing. And they said it took them about 12, 13 hours, and they was hungry and starving. And so you never know, you know, what goes on in the world and Africa and places like that. A lot of things we take for granted. And like I say, by the grace of God, they go out and thank God we have people like Rico doing what they do. And Brother Vernon, you want to share before we shut down, sir?
Can you repeat yourself?
No, I just asked you, did you want to say something before we close up?
No.
That was blunt.
No, I'm just, you know, I'm just like, you know, I got a lot going on. So, you know, I'm just, you know, listening to everything. And tonight's podcast was great. And I'm just, you know, I'm just excited about what's going on with us individually and us as a group.
All right. And y'all keep my brother burning in prayer because he just buried his mother up last week. And And the week before that, his aunt. So, you know, and they were sisters, you know. And so keep my brother, you know, I don't know what that's like, but, you know, just keep him in prayer, you know, keep up his strength. And brother Ransom, before we close out, you know, you still there? Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, there you go. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah, you know, I was calling on you, man, because I know you're a soldier. You are entertaining. You are a lot of things, man. And, you know, I had the privilege. You know, this brother, he's online quite a bit. I'm on one of his Facebook friends. And you know, he's, if y'all don't know, he's an actor, too, and a singer. And I happened to hear him sing several times. And the brother got a good voice on him, you know. But Brother Ransom, I called on you because, you know, before we shut down, do you want to share anything? What's up or, you know, what's going on with you?
Well, I mean, over the past couple of years, because of this whole pandemic situation, things have been a little slow, even though I have managed to get a film shot, but it has to be edited right now. But I'm just someone who's all about using my artistry to not just entertain, but to enlighten and heal and empower the Black communities. Whatever I do is about us, it's for us. My artistry is not just about myself, because I could be out here just writing all types of stereotypical stuff and doing all types of stereotypical things, but I'm not. I'm very intentional about what I write and what I create as far as my content. I'm all about using that to show our people in a different light, not just the same most stereotypical things and showing us selling drugs and killing each other over drugs and all that kind of stuff. I try to show us in positive relationships with one another. Realistic stuff as well, but, you know, positive relationships. And everything is not perfect, but I'm very intentional about showing us loving each other and promoting black love. That's what I'm about.
Okay, well, guess what? I need to sit down and talk to you because I have some ideas about, like I said, I'm into documentaries. And I want to talk to you about a documentary about the National Black Unity News. And I have, you know, like I say, I'm doing a lot of interviews and my mind is being very expanded. And you know, it's like deja vu, it's called. You know, the reason I started a newspaper way back in the day is because I used to have a directory. That's what I started out with, called Togetherness Unlimited. And I went on this mission, and I went to all these black businesses. I went to over 1,200 black businesses in them days. That's before computer was out. People couldn't text nobody, couldn't email. They had to physically go to places. And the business owners, the black business owners, told me their stories. Why, what come, the struggles they had to go through. And for the first time in my life, considering black people, I was so proud of us because I learned so much about us firsthand. By people who told me their struggle, what they did. And that's when the light bulb went off to do a newspaper. And that's how I got started with the Informer newspaper, because I wanted to highlight those people that I had talked to. And here we come full circle. Remember, I was talking about Dr. Ortiz, Fran Allen, you know, how God takes us from here to there. Sometimes we go full circle, you know, to come back. And now, because I did interview with, like, Rico don't talk that much, but now I got his story. I got a little bit about Michael Haney here. I got a little bit about Trudy on here. I did an interview with her and several other people. And I can imagine how powerful this would be to have this in a documentary about the people behind the scenes of the National Black Unity News, the things that they've done, the things that they are doing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so I'm going to sit down with you real soon, brother, and get this thing started because, like I say, DeMar ain't promised to me. So whatever I got to do with some urgency now. But I appreciate you, man, and keep doing what you're doing and as well as the rest of you. I appreciate that.
Appreciate everybody.
All right. Good morning. But as always, you know, again, to those who are on Facebook, Brother Satabi, Brother Michael, and everybody else on here, that, you know, like I say, we on YouTube, we on Facebook Live, Blog Talk Radio. And like I always say, you never know who are listening in. And later on in the week, who will pick up this podcast and hear your words. But I do know this. Like I say, where I sit, do you know I get so much information, so much education from each and every one of you because of your wisdom, your experiences in life, and most important, the way you care and the way you share. And it's a powerful thing that we have. And we have people organizing like Brother Cliff and Brother Michael Thomas, who have plans, you know, that can unite us in so many ways. And that's exactly what the National Black Unity do. It unites us, and it shows unity. Like I say, when people, like I say, you know, I get a lot of compliments on the cover of this paper. It's not designed that great, but the design of it is to highlight us. And when people look at that publication, the first thing they see, not just one black people, two black people, they see 8, 9, 10 black people on the cover, every issue. And most people have never, ever, even in our major, have seen that many black people on the front page of anything. Unless people are getting locked up in a group or something, you know, but I'm just saying. but the truth is not, but they really haven't never seen that, and then it intrigues them. And then when they open up, it's way more black people in there. 3 or 4 times many is black people in there. Seriously, 3 or 4 times as many. And when they go through their paper, they're just flipping and flipping and flipping. And all they're seeing is black people doing wonderful things, saying wonderful things, saying powerful things. This has never been done before in that type of manner in a newspaper. And so, you know, and like I said, it's not David Murphy, by divine inspiration that this came about. And since it is by divine inspiration, and I listen to most of you talk, and you also mentioned, most of you on there mentioned God and who inspires you. And so, you know, and like I say, you know, I feel like sometimes, you know, again, only God could assemble such a great group of people like yourself. Not David Murphy could never do that. But God uses people. He'll use an ass. He'll use a rock, you know, to get his mission across. And it is written in that manner. And it just so happened to be that he used me. He used us, because I would have never met Dr. Ali if it wasn't for Dr. Leroy McKenzie. And so, you know, so we all interconnected one way or another. If we didn't have the black men thing, you know, I wouldn't have met quite a few of you on here. So, you know, and so that's the way God works. It's just not, you know, it's like all these moving parts. But I'm going to tell you one thing. We have one powerful moving part. And I believe we are making history. Because this is a collaboration. It's about us, all of us. We all put our parts to this puzzle and to this publication. And I hope you continue on because, like I say, this is a journey. This is a mission that we're on. And y'all work, most everybody on here worked all of their lives. And we at this point, and that's why I asked that question in the beginning. I always tell you it's a method to my madness sometimes. I say all of this sometimes because we all started out different ways. But right now, at this moment, we are all right here. All of our journey ended up right here at this particular point, at this time, right now. And I told you what happened yesterday and how what you're doing today, but yet you are right here. And I think that is so amazing how God works. If it's 5 of us, 6 of us, 10 of us, and we just a small portion of us. But if you looked at, if you heard what people said on here, that's why you are a powerful group of people. And like I said, all of my life I had never, and I've been in many meetings and many organizations over the years, but I've never seen a group of people like yourself in one group, never ever in my whole lifetime. And that's why I'm so amazed and I'm so powerful. Keep doing what you're doing, ladies and gentlemen. you know, God got us, and, you know, and we did some things yesterday. We're going to do some things tomorrow as well. But today, we are dealing with this publication called the National Black Unity News. You know, share your information. Continue to do that. And, you know, we got a lot of work to be done, you know, and there ain't no retard. You know, we figured that out already. Y'all already said ain't no more. I'm going to sit back. I ain't going to do this no more. No. God has a different plan for each and every one of us. So, you know, and y'all already know, you will never have any peace nor rest. You can run all you want to. And I know I'm stepping up. If we was in church, I'd be stepping on some people's toes right now. It's no rest. You ain't nowhere in the world you're going to sit back and say, I ain't going to do nothing anymore. Sit back and just live off the land. And you will never be able to do that because each one of you, God has put each one of you on a mission. And when the mission is completed, that's when they're going to take you home. So while you're here, you might as well submit and going out and do what God tell you to do and finish the job. All right, love, brothers and sisters, I have much love and respect for each and every one of you. And I'm going to bid you a good night and hope to see you tomorrow night because my brother, Michael Haney, will be sharing a few words with us. And this brother have a lot to say. He had done a lot. And again, you know, each and every one of us, you know, we can relate because each and every one of you have done a lot. And, you know, and so, you know, you can understand where the brother's coming from because that's where you've been. Your journey is so powerful. So thank you and good night. Take care.
Good night.
Hey.
Good night.
Good night. And God bless.
That concludes our show for the night. Close out with a song.
Good night. Join us again next Monday night for the National Black Unity News Podcast. Thank you for listening, and hope to have you on again next week. Take care. God bless. Have a great week.